Good morning, everybody, and you're all very welcome this morning. And it's great to see so many new faces in the house. Amen. Just what Jay was saying about the kids' ministry and the youth ministry. You know, and we do need volunteers. But can I just say, we just don't want volunteers. We don't want just someone to come and fill the space. You know, over the weekend, our women were given keys to unlock the gifts that God has put in them. And you know, and I know there's men here this morning that God has put gifts within you. And men, we need you to step up. God needs you to step up to unlock the gifts that he's put within you. And women. So if those gifts are within you, we want to call them forth this morning. Because that's what the body of Christ is about. So whatever gift that you have, I want to call you out this morning to release your gift into this house. You know, we have kids downstairs that are fatherless. We've kids downstairs that are motherless. So God, I know, has put gifts within people in this house to come and nurture, to come and be a father to the fatherless, to come and be a mother to nurture our kids downstairs. So I'm asking you as a church, this week, get before the Lord and ask him, Lord, where do you want me to be positioned in the house? Because over the weekend, we spoke about Deborah. We spoke about an army rising up. We spoke about women coming to the front line and taking their position. And I'm calling the congregation up today, up to the front line to take your position. So please go this week and get before the Lord in prayer. Get in your prayer closet and ask him, Lord, where do you want me positioned in the house? And come and see us. Come and speak to us. Amen? Amen. Well, it's great to have our visitors with us this morning. We have our three ladies that are dear to us in this house. And they have been with us over the last number of years. And you know what? These ladies are family. I want you to know that, girls. Christy and Lynn and Paula. You are family here. These women, can I tell you, are always praying for liberty. Always. Their heart is here for us, guys. The Lord sent them here to us. And we have a prophet in the house this morning. And you know what? We don't take that lightly. But I would like our people here this morning to stand and to welcome Lynn as she comes to bring the word of God this morning. Come on.
Thank you so much. What an incredible honor it is to be here with you today. We get so excited when we start preparing to come to Ireland because this is our second home. We love our nation. We love the United States of America. That's our nation. That's where God birthed us. And we love that nation. But God has done an extraordinary thing in us. And he is about doing extraordinary things in all of us. And he put for us, in us, a desire, his desire to go to the nations. And my husband teases me. He says, every time you come home, you talk about the nation that you went to. And there's one thing I know. He said, I wait for it. I love the people. I just love the people. And he said, do you realize you say that about every nation? I wasn't aware of it, but I said to him, you know, I think it is because the love of the Father, he puts it in our heart. And when we go to the nations, we release that love, his love. And then we get to receive the love of the people. Because you see, when the Lord started me on this journey of going to the nations, he said, there's something I want you to know. Do not make them American. I knew what he meant. I said, yes, Lord. And then there was a silence. And then he said, And by the way, do not give up being American either. Those are such key words. That's such wisdom from my father. Because some nations we visit, we hear them and we feel them. It's like, oh, you're rich Americans. Well, our nation is rich. God has blessed our nation. But he shows us the richness in every nation we go to. And I turned around and say to them, yes, that's true. Because I am who I am. But you know what? Well, let me say here, first of all, by American standards, I am not rich. I am a missionary. And when you talk about being a missionary in America, people are like, yeah, we'll pray for you. Because it's by faith. It's by faith. But the joy that we have of coming and serving and partnering with all of you, we don't want to make you American. We love your culture. We love Ireland. I think I'm losing myself. I have a dead spot there. We love Ireland. God told us 3 years ago when we came here, he began to open the heavens and show us some things about Ireland. And he said, Ireland is poised and ready for revival. That was 3 years ago. And I said, yes, Lord, yes. He said, will you be part of it? I said, yes, Lord, absolutely. And so we will come every time he says, and we will bring and release and deposit what our king wants us to bring and release and deposit. But know this, no matter where we are in the world, we're lifting up Ireland. And we do lift up this church because this is one of our bases. This is a place that God is having us put in deep roots with all of you. So I want to say again, thank you, because we are partnering with you. God doesn't have lone rangers. He had one superstar, and he still is the superstar, the bright and morning star, and that is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. But we are team players, and we partner with all of you. So thank you. Thank you for making us feel so welcome. And it was so wonderful when we got here, and the first thing Sharon said was, welcome home. And I said, that's exactly how we feel. So thank you. So God has put a message on my heart for you this morning. I want you to look at your neighbor and to say, I'm here because it is by a divine appointment. Okay, now that's some different reactions. But we are here today because God has given me a message that he wants to share with you. I don't even need my notes because he's burned it on my heart. It's a good message. Jeremiah 29:11. Second time we've heard that today, but not the second time we've heard it this weekend. You see, God keeps repeating his word. He keeps repeating it so it can go deeper and 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 deeper into our spirits so that when we are faced and confronted with the storms of life, the trials and the tribulations, things that start rocking our boat, that word begins to rise up in us. And God says, I know the plans I have for you. He's been speaking that to me for about 3 or 4 days as I've been asking him, what would you like to say? Not what do you want me to say, it's what do you want to say? Think about that. What does he want to say to our hearts today? In the book of Revelation, it says, give us ears to hear. That what we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. And the Spirit of God is saying to the church today, rise up with hope because I know the plans I have for you. For us collectively as the worldwide body of Christ, but for us individually, God is saying, I know you. I know you. I know you intimately. I know the number of hairs on your head. And I'm going, Lord, did you get that count? A few fell out this morning. Got it. He says, I know you. I know the secret desires of your heart. I know the hidden struggles and trials that you are walking through. I know. And he's not here to stand as your judge and condemner. He's here to say, will you let me help you? Will you let me help you? And on the surface, we say, yes, Lord. Until he starts pointing out something that's a little deeper. And we're like, Lord, I don't know. That's too risky. And he's wanting me to ask you today, are you willing to take a risk with him? Are you willing to be a risk taker? I'll be honest with you. I never thought I was a risk taker. I was a very conservative person. I was a very, well, I'll just kind of watch and see what happens kind of person. And then the Holy Spirit said, I have a plan for you, Lynn. Will you take it? Will you step up and take it? I didn't even ask him what it was. I didn't even ask him what it meant or what it involved. But when you are in the presence of the King and he says, will you take it? Will you take this risk with me? And I said, oh, Lord, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea. He said, will you follow me? I said, Jesus, I will follow you any place. Because before all of that happened, I fell in love with him. I fell so deeply in love with him because he revealed to me how much he loved me. And I'm telling you, there's people here today. You know God loves you, but you don't know how much he loves you. And you need to know. Because in order to let him step into those areas that are scary, those areas that still have you gripped in a death hold, you have to let him in. You have to trust him. Anybody ever seen a wounded animal? And you try to help that animal, what happens? Man, it's all teeth and fangs and everything else, right? And you're like, whoa. And all you're trying to do is help it. But that's what we are like. That's exactly it. But our Lord knows. And when he begins to speak to that place, that wounded area, that broken area, and I just feel right now there's hope starting to rise up in somebody. Let it come up. Don't press it down. Let it come up because it's the absolute truth. And when his love begins to come in, it begins to expand. And he begins to breathe life. And the first thing that I thought was, okay, he's going to start telling me I shouldn't have, and I'm bad, and it's sin. And he let me go through my long list of self-abasement, because it's what we all do. We don't need somebody to tell us how bad we are. We know. We don't need somebody to point out this is not good and healthy. We know. And we also know if we could step out of it today, we'd do it. But it's like the story Louise told yesterday about the whale. So tangled up, you can't get free. You need to trust someone to come and start cutting those ropes that have you wrapped up. And I said, Lord, I don't know what it is you're asking me to do, but I love you. And he said, I promise you, Lynn, it's not going to be easy. What kind of a promise is that? And that's just what I said. I said, excuse me? Did I hear you right? He said, yes, it's going to be very difficult. And I said, thank you. Are you sure you got the right person? Because I'm Gideon at that time, hiding in the wine press. That was me. And he said, but I will be with you. And I promise you, Lynn, if you take this step with me, you will have the walk with me that you have been crying out for. Because you see, our hearts cry out to him. And our mind isn't always aware of it. But he hears everything that comes out of our hearts. I said, yes, Lord, I'll go. And I didn't just hop on a bus or a plane or a train. I went through another 20 years of training with him, of cleaning up the junk in my trunk, the stuff that was stashed and stored away. I let him come in. And you know what? I let him prove to me who he was. Now there's another scripture that he wants me to talk to you about. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 15. I love the book of Matthew. I love all the Gospels, but Matthew is one of my favorites. Matthew 16, verse 13. And I'm going to stop at different points because there's a few things I want to highlight here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, okay, stop right there. He came to a very specific region that's named. It was an appointed time, an appointed place. And this is where I'm getting to the part of you're here by divine appointment. This is your appointed time and place with him. He came to the region of Liberty Church this morning. This is your appointed time. And he asked his disciples a question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say? Who do people that don't know me? What's the rumor that's flying around? You notice what he said? The Son of Man. It was one of his titles. Son of God, Son of Man. If you ever want to do an interesting scripture study, read all the verses on the Son of God. Then read all the verses on the Son of Man where he says, the Son of Man. It's amazing the revelation that you'll get. But he's asking them, who do people say that I am? And they answer him. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But then he gets very personal. And this is where he's at with us today. But what about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? And that's the question. That's the place he wants me to highlight with you today. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Every single one of your days, according to Psalm 139, has already been written in his book. He has a book with your name on it, and every one of your days are recorded in heaven already. You haven't even lived them yet. Before you were even born, he recorded every one of your days in his book. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, and he knows the beginning from the end. He knows you. He's recorded every one of your days. He has a plan for you. He's going to know, according to that same psalm, before a word is even on my mouth, before I speak it, you already know what I'm going to say. And you see, when God called me out of a life of living in the shadows, I was a Christian. I had become a follower of Yeshua, and I loved him dearly. But I lived in the shadows because I was still afraid. I was still shy. I still was not a risk taker, a cautious person. I had been beat up by the world. I had been hurt a lot, and I wasn't about to make myself a public figure. Isn't God funny? Was the enemy meant for evil? God has turned it around and used it for his glory. I meet a few people every now and then who knew me way back when, and they're like, "You're doing what?" And they start laughing. And I start laughing with him too. And I'm like, "You know how amazing God is? Look at what he's done. If he's done it with me, oh my gosh, what does he have in plan and in store for all of you?" But he asked me, "Lynn, who do you say that I am?" And I said, "Well, you're Jesus. You're my Lord and my Savior." He goes, "And?" "Well, you're the King of Kings. You're Adonai, Master, Ruler of the Universe." He goes, "And?" Lord, I'm running out of things. What do you want me to say? He said, "I want to know who you say I am." I said, "Lord, I don't understand. Is this a trick question?" He said, "Whenever a struggle and a trial comes your way, what are the thoughts in your mind? That's who you're saying I am. Whenever you are under stress and duress and you're exhausted and tired, what comes out of your mouth, that's who you're saying I am. But now, to my face, in this quiet time, you and I, you're saying I'm your Lord and I'm your Master and I'm the ruler of everything. But that's not who you really believe that I am." Whoa. And that's what he's saying today. You see, he said to the disciples, when they got to a certain region and a certain area, then he began to speak about it. The Lord doesn't just haphazardly say things or do things. And you know, he still doesn't today. He is always moving in Father's exact timing. So he wants us to think about this because he's saying, "I made a promise to you. I know the plans I have for you, and they're good ones. They're for a future." So many people are giving up the gift of life because they're saying there's no future anymore. But there is. They're giving up and turning to other substances and chemicals. I was there. And saying, "I can't deal with another day. I can't handle the pressures of life because there's no hope. There's no way out." Do you know how many times growing up as a child, I laid on my bed at night, often in excruciating pain, and cried out to God, and not even realizing I was crying out to him, but just out of me crying out, "There's no way out. I will never get out of this. I'm going to die in this hell." And I wasn't even 12 years old yet. God heard every one of my cries. He heard me, and he hears every one of your cries. But I had to get to the place where I started trusting him. And that's the key right there. You see, we have to change what we're thinking. We have to change what we're speaking. I still can feel it in my heart. I can still feel like, oh, it's one of those days, the alarm goes off, I'm pulling the covers over my head, and I'm going, "I don't want to get up." And the Holy Spirit is saying, "Lynn, it's time to get up." And I'm like, "Oh, no. Today is a good day to stay in bed. Thank you very much." He's like, "You need to get up." Lord, I don't have any strength today because I have physical challenges too. I don't have any strength today. And he say to me, "What does my word say?" You see, who do you say that I am? You're saying you don't have strength. You can't cope. Lynn, who are you saying that I am? Your word says, as my day is, so shall my strength be. And I said, that's who you are. You are my strength. When I went to Belarus for the first time, that was a wild missions trip. It was awesome, incredible what God did. He manifested his presence. After I was done speaking, there was a loud clap of thunder, and everybody was startled and looking around, and I started laughing. They're like, this woman's crazy. Yes, I am. I am crazy in love with my King, because he spoke in the thunder back in the days when Jesus was on the earth, and he still does. And those who have ears to discern what he is saying, and I said, that was my daddy. And he just said amen to what I said. And there was a presence of God that came into the room. Who do you say that I am? This is even for me. This is for my beloved team. This is for all of us. Because we are at a certain region and a certain place in our walk with him and in our time with him now. Jesus said, the day is coming when no man can work. And as we approach that day, it gets harder. And the Lord is saying, who do you say that I am? What do you really believe? Peter said, you are the Christ, the only Son of God. And that sums everything up. He is the Christ, the only Son of God. He is that for you and you and you. No matter what you are facing, what trials or struggles. When he said, I am the all in all. I am your next breath. He meant it. God has given me a big vision that I share with my team of something we are yet to build that we will build. But I'm telling you, there are days when I wrestle. Oh, I wrestle because the destroyer comes. The thief, the robber comes and says, how do you think you're going to do this? How do you think you're going to do this? Who do you think you are? Does that sound familiar? I'm like, Jesus, I'm in good company. I said those same things to you. And one day I went to the Lord with my heart that's been battered and battered and battered as I stand year after year carrying this vision for it to be fulfilled and built. And the Lord said, and I said, Lord, I need your help. You see, I need your help. I stand on your word. I trust you. I believe you. But I need your help. Do you cry that out to him? Or do we just turn to those old ways or turn to those old patterns of thinking, of reacting? And he said to me, Lynn, yes, Lord, I am who I said I am. I said, yes, Lord. And he said, I will do what I said I would do. Man, something shifted in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is who he said he was. He will do what he has said he would do. I need to remind myself of this every day. I do. Because every day is a new day. Every day is a new challenge. And sometimes when the water is really calm, I'm like, okay, what's brewing, Lord? It's like rest in my peace. In the midst of the storm, he set an example. I was resting in the Father's peace. I've been to Israel twice now. I'm called to that nation. As a ministry, we're called to that nation. God is calling many people to that nation because God is setting things up. We are moving on his timetable. And I went to visit the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, there's two of them. If you go to the Garden Tomb, it's a little bit more accurate. That's all I'm going to say about that. But we were there, and I'm sitting there and feeling this overwhelming peace. And I said, Lord, this is the place where one of your greatest struggles took place the night before the crucifixion, where you sweat drops of blood as you groaned in your spirit and you wrestled with the Father's plan. If there is any other way, but not my will, your will be done. And as I stood there and I just thought on that, the Lord said to me, he said, Lynn, that even in my agony, I never left my place of complete peace and rest in my Father. I was like, oh, Jesus, teach me that. Teach me that. Teach all of us that. We need it. We need it. We're seeing amazing things happening in our world. And Isaiah is very clear that darkness and gross darkness will cover the earth. But don't stop there. Because the light of God is coming upon his children, and we will rise up in victorious light. And we will arise and shine. And kings will come from the nations. This is who we are. Your circumstances that you're in now, God is not making light of them. But he wants to stretch your perspective just a little bit to see the big picture. So how do you walk in this boldness and confidence? God's a practical God, and I love that about him. He's very practical. So I said, Lord, so how do we walk in this? I can't end it here. It's good. It's stirring our spirit. It once causes us to rise up. But Lord, what can they take when they walk out the door? He said, tell them to learn to trust me. The scripture says in Jeremiah, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What are chariots and horses? It's the strength of man. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. I don't know how we're going to build that huge training center, but we're going to do it. The Lord said to me several years ago when I was in Hawaii ministering, he said to me, one day, he said, how much do you think you're going to need? I'm like, I don't know. How much land am I going to need? He said, oh, 110 acres is a good place to start. I'm like, wow, okay. And he said, so how much do you think you're going to need? And I'm like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I said, I don't know, 5 million? No, that's probably not enough. 10 million, Lord? He goes, double it. I said, okay, Lord. Because you see, we're to ask. I said, then I'm asking you for $20 million to build that training center so that people can come from the world and be trained. There's so many things he wants to do. I'm asking you, Father, for $20 million. And instantly I was in the third heaven. Because you see, as prophets, he does that with us. Right? Do you ever read about Jeremiah? Picks him up by the hair, and there he is. Isaiah, same thing. Ezekiel, he does that with us. It's okay. We like it. He's our boss. He can do whatever he wants. It's really good. And it doesn't hurt, by the way. Instantly, I'm in the third heaven, and I'm in a conference room. And I'm sitting at a conference table, and Jesus is sitting across from me. And I noticed as I looked down, that I have papers, and these papers are written up, a proposal for to borrow money for a loan. And I'm looking at this going, well, isn't this just lovely? And I see my signature on it, and I see its itemized list. And I'm looking at this, and I'm realizing, wow, these are some of the very things we're going to need for this training center. And I'm looking at it, and the Lord's just sitting there smiling at me. He goes, so does this meet with your approval? Did you catch that? Lynn, does this meet with your approval? Who am I? I'll tell you who I am. I'm his partner. I'll tell you who you are. You're his partner. Does it meet with your approval, Lynn? Oh, yes, Lord. He said, well, and I turned, he said, can I look at it? So I turned it over, I slid it over to him, and he's looking at it, and he's looking at it, and he's looking at it, and I'm thinking, okay, something's not right here. And he said, I said, Lord, does it meet with your approval? He said, no. And I'm like, okay. I'm starting to think, okay, what do I need to cross off, right? Because I still think too small. Honestly, and I'm learning to think bigger, but I'm growing. You need to think bigger too. This present circumstance and situation you're in is temporary. God has a way out. You just haven't found the exit sign yet, because he's standing in front of it, because he wants you to run to him, because he's the exit sign. He's the exit. He said, I am the door. He's the exit. So I said, what is it, Lord, that you don't approve of? He said, it's not enough. And he started adding some things on there. And he turned it back to me, and my eyes just like popped out of my head. Do you know one of the things he put on there was a jet and an airstrip on the property? And I'm like, whoa. And he just looked, and I'm like, whoa. And he started laughing. He's the most delightful God there is. And he said, Lynn, you're doing a lot of travel. Commercial airlines are fine to start. But I've got a jet. I've got an airstrip. And I've got the money for it. By the way, doesn't he own everything? The earth is the Lord's, and all there is therein. Wow. I said, wow, Lord. And he said, you're going to need maintenance, and you're going to need a pilot. And he's just, I'm gone. I'm lost. I am so lost that I'm focusing on what he's saying, but I'm lost in him. I'm lost in loving him. He's so good and so generous, so kind. And then he turned it back towards him. He looked at it, nodded his head. He picked up a stamp, a rubber stamp. I didn't even see. And he stamped it. And it, in red letters, big red letters, it said, approved. Wow. And he handed it back to me. He said, this is for you to keep. All of a sudden, I'm back in my office again. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, my God. He said, my timing is perfect on everything. So I walk with him, and I partner with him. One more quick story, because I don't want you to think I got it all together. I do in him. But I want to be real and transparent to you, because I want you to see that where I was and where I am now is so totally different. But I'm still on my journey with him, because I want it to build encouragement and hope in you. As I've been progressing in my years, and I love Christy, and I thank God for what she said one day. I thank God for every one of those years. I earned them. I don't have to lie about my age. I'm going to be 65 in a few months. And my body has been giving me trouble. I had a hip injury over 20 years ago that's caused serious trouble in my hip. My knees, they said I wasn't even supposed to walk again. Look what God does. But it's getting harder for me to climb stairs, to do things. And by the time we left Israel, there were a lot of stairs in Israel. And when we got here, I was doing some serious hurting. And I was battling. I've been battling for months. Lord, what should I do? And I hear this from the time I turned 60 on. Well, you should start thinking about retiring now. Because that's what our world says, doesn't it? Well, you know, you ought to be thinking, who's going to replace you? What are you going to do? And as I sought the Lord, he gave me some good, wise counsel. And I set up some good leaders because the ministry has grown to the point that I can't carry it myself. And so I have some wonderful leaders that are in place and helping running different facets of the ministry. And I'd step back from them so they could step in. There's another key. You have to step back sometimes if you're going to let somebody else step in that place. But make sure somebody's stepping in, because the enemy loves to fill those gaps, by the way. I don't give that up easy. But then as I'm stepping back, it's like, don't you think it's time for you to retire? And I've been battling this for years, almost 5 years. And finally, when we got here on the 15th, it was like between the 15th and 17th, some was in there, 18th. My team sat down with me and said, what's going on, Lynn? You are withdrawing. What's happening? What's happening? And we began talking. And my team, which is a good team, because like it was said yesterday, God sent them out two by two. We're doing this together. I need them to help me. I need to help them. And I began to share with them how hard it's getting. And when I went to Belarus, within the first couple of days, I did something, and I actually took my knee out of joint. And I wasn't sure that's what happened, but every time I stepped on my right leg, it was like shooting pains that would run up my leg. And I was there for 2 weeks. And every step I take, the pain was excruciating. And I was like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Now, thankfully, the person I was traveling with was a nurse. So she gave me some supplements that would help decrease the pain, but it didn't correct the problem. And I got to the place. I said, God, you called me here. And every step I take, I'm taking for your kingdom. You are my leg. You are my knee. And as I began walking and putting weight on that, I felt his presence. That's how we have to walk. That was a weak area in my body. When I got home, I went to see my chiropractor. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you walked on this. He popped it right back into joint and I was fine. But with every struggle that comes, even the lie from the enemy that tried to steal my destiny, and that was only a few days ago. He tried to steal my destiny. And that's what my team said. He wants you to stop. And I said, I'm no quitter. Are you a quitter? Are you going to stop? Or are you going to rise up and say, God, I want everything you have for me. Every day you wrote in your book, I want it fulfilled. And what I've told the Lord, when I come and I stand before you, if there is a page that's not been completed, I love you and I want to enter into my rewards, but I'm not going to do it. If I have something to say, if it was something I was supposed to fulfill, I'm going to look at you and go, Lord, I can't. I'm not done. I'm not done. And when you start living like that, those fears, they keep you bound. And I know all about fear. Fear was my master for way too many years. And now Jesus is my master. And those fears start to go away when you say, God, are we done? Are we finished? I was flying someplace and I had somebody with me. They were terrified of flying and they're white knuckling and they're, and I looked at them and I said, I have a question for you. I said, yeah. I said, do you think that my work for the Lord is done? They're like, oh no, you have a lot more to do. I said, then why are you afraid? This plane is not going to crash. I'm on it. You just said my work's not done. And they started laughing. And that's what we've got to do. I put a sign up yesterday that said that the enemy whispers, you will not withstand the storm. But the warrior says, I am the storm. Start facing your struggles and your trials on the truth of the word of God and say, I am the storm. This that I'm walking through, my God is in the midst of it. And he brings life and speaks truth to it. And how do you build that trust? You see, I didn't forget because he reminds me. Fear was my master. Trust was a horrible thing. It was so hard for me to trust. I wanted to. And one day I got this great idea. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was behind it. Lynn, why don't you look up every scripture in the Word on trust and write them out. And then every day, speak them over your life. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord my God. And I will lay down and sleep at night in peace and safety because I trust in the Lord my God. And I read those. I had 3 pages front and back typed, and I read them every day. I read them over my life. A few that would send out to me, I put on little note cards, stick them in my pocket. And whenever I would feel that fear start to come up, I'd take out the sword, and I would read them, and I would say, This is the truth. And that stronghold broke. Fear is a stronghold. And it broke. Oh, you know, and when the enemy finds something that works good, he tries to come back with fear and intimidation. And Graham Cook, I'm sure you know who he is, prophets from the States. He told a story once that it was the icing on the cake that took me over the top. He said, it was in Africa or something, someplace, 2 stories. And one, there was a witch doctor that came up to him, and he was like, you know, doing all of his witch doctor ugly stuff. And Graham Cook is like, okay, Lord, you got to help me here. Because if you don't do something, he's going to take me out. And he's standing his ground, and this witch doctor is coming, and he's, you know, releasing all this demonic stuff and everything. It's real. We know it, right? But we know the one who's greater, so I don't want to give any credit or glory to something that's lesser. Graham is waiting for God to speak some huge revelatory word to him to say, and all of a sudden, what comes to his mind is a line from the song, I Get No Satisfaction, Respect. And he starts shouting it. He starts shouting the verse. And the witch doctor is startled. And all of a sudden, he turns and he runs away. And Graham Cook is standing there going, now, God, what was that about? A song from the, what was it, 70s or 80s? I don't know. It has no scriptural basis, meaning or nothing. And God said, I wanted you to know it didn't matter what you said. It was what was coming up out of you. That is the power of God that comes up through you that will cause the enemy to flee. And what does his word say? Go back to the truth. And when the enemy comes at you one way, I will drive him out from you 7 different ways. Our God is an awesome God. Study his word, memorize his word, speak his word over your life every day. Begin to decree and proclaim, I am a child of God. I am no longer underneath. I am above. I am the head and I'm not the tail. I am blessed of God. I am highly favored of God. God is my strength. God is my refuge. God is my strong defender. Who can touch me? But my Father has said yes, and my Father is saying no way. You go and you do what God has given you to do, and you stand on the truth of who he is. And when he comes to you and says, Who do you say that I am? You can smile and say, you're my Jesus. I know who you are because I live it every day. I walk it. I breathe it. I sing it. I laugh about it. You are my God. And there is none above you. There is none beside you. There is none before you. Yes, things get crazy in our world. They're going to get a little crazy before things finally line up to the way the king wants them, because he's shifting one government to his government. Because the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and God. That's what the word says. And that's what we're standing in and walking in. But we have to live through that shifting and transitioning that's taking place. And we can do it victorious. Our Father is saying, I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans. I know the plans I have for you. They're good plans. We're going to have a great time. You see, God rose up a warrior from that broken, crushed, terrified, hopeless, sappy, sad sack individual that I was. He rose up a warrior. And he said, oh, Lynn, we're going to have a lot of fun. Let's go. He's raising up something in you. People have said to me, will you pray for me? And I asked the Lord about that this morning. I said, Lord, how do you want to close this? What do you want to do? He said, Lynn, I want them to come to me, because that's what you did. There was nobody else around me. I was off. I was alone. I didn't have telephone. This is way before cell phones. I had a King James Bible that I couldn't hardly even understand. But I had the Holy Spirit. I had my God, and I cried out to him, teach me your ways, O God. Teach me your ways that I might not sin against you. Teach me to understand this great, fathomless love of yours. I don't want to just know with my head. I want to experience it. I don't want to wait to experience these things till I go and I'm in heaven in your presence. I want to live them. I want to walk them. I want you to be real to me today and every day. And I've walked through a lot of battles. I've got a lot of battle scars. Oh, but if I got some great stories, because my God is awesome. So today, that's what he wants from you. Cry out to him. Cry out to him in that desperation. Like I did, because he's listening. He's listening. And he's there, and he's ready. He's ready. Thank you so much.
Amen. Powerful. Thanks, Lynn. Amen. You know, we're just going to open up the front, and if you want to come and spend time with God, as Lynn said, he hears your cries. He hears your cries. So we're just going to play some music in the background, and we're just going to open this front wide open. As she said, I love what she said. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we've got to learn to trust in God Almighty. And that's why you can't quit. And if you feel like quitting, if you're hanging in by a thread today, you cannot quit. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. So let's stand and let's come and cry out to God. He knows the cries of your heart. Amen.